Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today I have my good friends Rashad with me, I have Chris from Minori with me, I have Don with me. We're here to review the season finale of Daredevil Born Again, Straight to Hell. So let's go ahead, let's review Straight to Hell right now, because what, well, the hell with it. Oh. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Well, here we are, season finale. Before we break it down, I gotta go on ahead and do my WWE thing for like the season finale. This is it.
WWE? What's that? Tell us all about
it. Okay. This episode of Daredevil Born Again review is brought to you by the WWE store. Because if you're gonna throw hands like Matt Murdock, you might as well look good doing it. Whether you're brawling in Hell's Kitchen or just arguing over the remote, WWE Shop has all the gear you need to feel like a champion. Rock the same intensity as Kingpin with a Roman Reigns head to the table shirt. Or channel your inner vigilante in a John Cena You Can't See Me Never Give Up hoodie. Perk for those late night rooftop justice submissions. Use code WWE24 at checkout for absolutely nothing because we're not actually sponsored by, yes we are sponsored by them. I'm sorry my split personality is taking over. But hey, it sounds cool, right? So let's go on ahead. Let's review this. So, I really have to
say, I love that joke.
What? No yeet on that one.
Did the Matrix just reset or something? What happened, right. Doc?
But anyways, guys, we're finally here. We're finally here with the season finale. And I have to say, I really enjoyed the season finale this go around. I liked what I've seen. The first two season 8 was good. Season 9 stepped it up. I mean, not season 9, but episode 9 stepped it up. And here's the thing. I know that this season has been like a Frankenstein kind of season because they had to go in, rewrite some stuff, and they also had to also, direct certain things that was in the original one and then expand it out to this season. But with episode 9, the directors are coming back to do season 2. So at least we have some cohesiveness now established with the second season. So it's not going to feel like it's all over the place, but I definitely like the like seeing Matt inside the hospital, and I cannot stand Heather. Heather got on my nerves the second time watching it. I'm like, he brings up Foggy. He's just, oh, here we go again with his problems. How many times do you have to keep on doing this, Matt? Leave Foggy out of this. We don't need to be digging up any files or anything, but no, you just had to go on ahead and do it. Just the way she does the eye rolls just pisses me off because she doesn't have any kind of compassion towards Matt at all or anything like that anymore. And then you would think that she would actually care about him, especially after his apartment gets blown up. No, right. No, we'll talk about that later on too. But what do you guys think?
So I'm hoping that, you know, her getting the job with Kingpin, I'm hoping that, puts the kibosh on this relationship, right? Like Matt just goes, nah, forget it. I can't watch you with that dude. So that's what I'm hoping. I don't like her either. I was really impressed with the episode. I have one issue that you and I talked about. We can talk about that when we get to the ending. But, right. Overall, I thought it was really good. You pegged it. You premonized. I don't know if that's a word.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. I ended up saying that, Karen was going to show up at the end. Mm-hmm.
Punisher.
That Foggy was going to show up. He didn't, but I did get that. And then also the Punisher was going to show up. Mm-hmm. And boy, does he show up.
Man, it was so great. So great.
Yeah.
I agree about Heather, man. Heather right now has the potential to be another Cersei. If you watch Game of Thrones, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
She has the potential to be Cersei, but right now she's on the level of, what was Walter White's wife's name? Skyler from Breaking Bad.
Yep.
She's there with her now. I don't like her at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wanted to get a Stone Cold Stunner with some stink on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, overall, where we get to with her, I don't like. I think she's obviously, I think her taking that job is the go F yourself to him, to Matt. I really do. I think that is the, I'm done with this. But in the beginning, I don't know. Huh?
There's the comment.
Daredevil bored again. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
We like the show. I'm sorry that you didn't like the show, but that doesn't allow us not to geek out and like the show. So,
but I think I might have a hot take on that last episode, man. I didn't hate it, but I was kind of underwhelmed.
Thank you.
But that's not really a bad thing, just because I have such high expectations for this show. I love Daredevil so much, man. This season has been, you know, great for me. It's a good callback to the Netflix show, even though, like you said, it's kind of Frankenstein's monster where it's unbalanced, but I was enjoying it, and I felt like, okay, I was being patient because it's leading to something. Okay. There's going to be a big payoff. It's leading to something big. And the highlight was Fisk ripping the guy's face off and Frank Castle.
That was fucked up, man.
You know, those are the two highlights, man, but it really led to, I don't know. I just
nothing,
felt like
nothing.
It was a nothing burger.
I don't know. It led to something to me.
Right. Could you imagine if they put Matt in a coma after he had to fight Fisk being shot?
Mm.
And Fisk just beats the ever living crap out of him, and he has to go into a coma because of it, and that's where we pick up.
Purgatory.
Dude, there's so much they could have done with this, and they just literally just let it go. Like, they tie up a lot of stories, don't get me wrong. I really feel like they tie up a lot of stories. But we needed after that, my thing, I still think about that first meeting with them two in the diner. And it's like, no, if you come back, I'm coming back. And they both came back. And for three episodes now, they've just been saying, we're back. And nobody's doing it. I don't know. It just felt so.
Well, it's kind of like in The Walking Dead, right?
Have a good opportunity to have a great fight between these two, like a great fight. Instead, they let Matt fight some henchmen. Like,
well, if you think about it, it's kind of like The Walking Dead, right? Where it's like, we're going to war. And then we're not going to war. Not yet.
Right.
But the whole
I get it. We have to have a second.
At the same time. Like, they both come back at the same time, and we don't get that freaking, even the Rocky moment where they, like, and then they pull, like, anything.
Yeah. that's one of the best shots totally in film history.
Yeah.
Look, I got the shit in the background. Sure. Yeah.
Like, I would have took that. That's I don't know. It just,
I totally agree with you, though.
I'm not shitting on the show overall. I do think this was a decent episode overall. I just feel like the last 5 to 10 minutes are just like, wait, what? Wait, what? This is where we're going? I don't know. It just really.
So I'm going to disagree, right? I think.
That's fair. Yeah, no, it's fair.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It left much to be desired. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. We're getting a season two, but like, keep us full until we get that next season. You know, it kind of left you, I hope I can say this.
I don't know.
It almost left you with blue balls. You know what I'm saying?
I'm about to
blow my nerd load. And then it's like, now I'm just sitting with two swollen grapefruits and I'm irritated about it.
But at least your grapefruits, like, man,
you have a high opinion of yourself.
The bottom line is Fish should have been the one that showed up in the hospital. Fish should have been the one that showed up in the hospital, grabbed him out of that bed, and it was on at that point. Like, it should have been on at that point. And that's that would have been an awesome way to do it.
But
I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. How many times do we know that Fist does show up whenever he needs to show up to whack somebody?
Right.
But think of it like this. He's mayor now. He's not the kingpin that we knew from Netflix.
He don't give a shit anymore.
Well,
now,
I know that. But
he don't care anymore.
What I'm trying to say is, based off of face value and stuff like that too, when you look at face value, when you look at other people, civilians and stuff like that, some of them might look at him as a mayor, even though we don't look at him that way. is how other people perceive him. So therefore, for a mayor to walk into a hospital to go toe to toe with like some, with a number one, a blind person, and then also two, he's wounded. That's gonna look bad for.
I mean, I do get that, but
yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I think it would have been too soon, right, to have the two of them fight, right?
Yeah, at least give us a short teaser or something.
No, I like the way it's going.
Me
right?
too.
And I would because it could be epic, right? It could be really be epic when they put this war together, and go to fight together. And you know, to me, that's realistic, right? That's a lot more realistic because if they're doing what they're doing, it's not going to be, you know, maybe the eight guys that, that he can take on his own and Karen can't do shit, right? So, it makes sense that it would be loaded with people and thank God Matt came to his senses and didn't try to go it alone. I love the idea of them getting a bunch of people together. I guess the defenders didn't work well, right? It seems like he just called up his friends and goes, hey guys, we're back together. We're putting the band back together. Let's go. He's got to start all over again.
Yeah. So I think they retconned the defenders, right? I think they retconned that.
Right. Yeah. But here's the thing. I like the idea of these, vigilantes coming together again because they represent New York. They represent Hell's Kitchen. So it makes sense for them to come in there, especially Luke Cage and also Jessica Jones because of the fact that they also, I believe it's at Josie's Bar though too. If not, it's still centered around Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think he had his own bar, but she.
Yeah,
she
he had his own bar, but she went on ahead and visited Josie's because Luke's bar blew up in season one of Jessica Jones. And I watched that right after I watched Daredevil, but still. But what I have to say though, too, is about this. I like the fact that it doesn't leave me overstuffed. Don't get me wrong. I love eating the buffet, but I also don't want to go on ahead and overdo it and eat everything on there. I like to leave a little extra room later on. So with them going at the end of it, doing it that way, it's like, look, I'm injured. This is not helping anybody if I get myself killed. So I need to go on ahead, heal myself back up, and then regroup again later on because this is going to be expecting me to be there. So, and not only that, but his goons are also going to end up trying to attack me, and it's not good if I'm attacked, if I'm wounded. Otherwise, I'm going to be in that cage with Frank, even though he doesn't know that Frank's there. He's still going to be locked in those cages with the other vigilantes. So that's how I'm looking at it from that perspective. As well from the character's lenses. But, you know, I definitely loved how Matt goes into the apartment and he sees Frank there. What are you doing, Red? What are you doing over here? He goes, what are you called now? You're called the gown. I forgot what, how he put it though, but he was, and I like the back and forth between the two of them was fantastic.
They got great chemistry. They got good
chemistry.
Yes.
Yeah. They sure do.
And the fight scene with that, where you think that Matt's going to break whenever he finds out that the killer who killed White Tiger is in that apartment. And he goes, do it, Red. Do it. He deserves to die. And so.
It's a good impression.
Thank you. Right. Thank you.
He did die, right? He got blowed up. I assume he was wall art.
Yeah, I was on the side with Frank though. Like, you know, like Matt was doing the whole Batman thing. Like, we don't kill, you know. Nah, it's night breaking one rule, man. Just do it. Just take him out. I was on Frank's side on that one. I mean, any other crime, I've been like, all right, let it go. But dog, you committed, you killed White Tiger like that, bro. You gotta go down. It's, you know, you gotta go down.
I noticed Matt didn't stop him from killing those guys in there, right? Like, he would just yell at him, but, you know, in the original series, he'd be, like, basically throwing shit at Frank to stop him from killing somebody. He just kind of let it happen this time.
At this point, he knows what you're getting if Frank's going to back him.
Right.
So it's like, okay, that's his way of doing things. That's not my way. So I'll leave some people injured and stuff. He'll leave some people dead. So that way they know at least I'm the one who's trying to help while he's trying to send everybody else to help. So, therefore, I'll go on ahead and come out of this clean. But I like how they leave this thing open to where they jump out the window as soon as Matt hears the grenade. And then he used the grapple hook to go down. And then you see the inside. We're, like, inside the car watching this happen. Right. And the apartment blows up. I like how we're witnessing it just as the driver, the taxi driver is also witnessing it as well.
Yeah.
And what's up with Frank and your girl? Because Matt Karen. Noticed that too. Yeah, Karen. Yeah, they was giving each other the F me eyes there.
They better not go there.
I said, is Frank and your girl gonna smash? You know,
100%. I'm gonna be so mad if they do that, right? Because you know, him and Karen, he loves her like a daughter, right? In the other series, he even said, his wife, right? He was always, you remind me of my wife. She was funny too. But I don't know. I never got that feeling between them. So I
saw it.
I don't know. I picked up on what they were saying when they were together and looking for the records. And she said, what did she say? You felt my heartbeat when Frank walked into the room or whatever it was.
No, this is what he says. He said, I heard your heartbeat when Frank walked into the room. Mm-hmm. And she goes, but did you hear my heartbeat when you walked in?
Yeah, but
she said?
Yeah.
Yes. And he said yes, and she said it. He said it must have been the whatever she said before that.
Adrenaline.
Yeah.
Right.
No. He knew what she was putting down. He knew what she. If they're not banging already, they're talking about it. they're talking.
And there's a lot of coffee references, like in the show. There's a lot of coffee going on. Because remember, Luke Cage, there's always something about coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I thought that worked out. I thought the chemistry between all of them really worked out well with that. Yeah. And then you also have this other thing now too, where Fisk wants to close down the city. And the commissioner's like, well, you can't do that. And then everybody else martial law. You cannot do that without right. Mm-hmm. And so he gets the power guy. I like how after that one woman leaves, she calls him into the office and you see the little power hat. I'm like, okay, he's about to go ahead and shut the power off the whole entire city.
Yeah.
So that way you can have martial law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that task force is crazy. yeah. I guess this is a good time to bring out. So. You know, here's my two problems. I, in general, love this show, right? I think it has way, way more hits than it does misses.
I agree.
In this episode, there are two things that kind of bother me. And the first one is that final showdown between Frank and all the guys in the building, right? That's not how Castle fucking does it. He would have had guns all over. He would have been shooting up like crazy and he just walked in, right?
Church.
And it doesn't. I mean, remember in his show, the scene in the prison, right? Mm-hmm. All those prisoners, and he just makes mincemeat out of all of them, man.
I wanted to see a Gatling gun. That's what I wanted to see.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Chris, we're here. We're here, bro. We're here because right before you said that, I was just going to say I did not like how Frank just walked up in there with no plan or nothing. Just like sheep to the slaughter. And I'm like, okay, he has to have some kind of.
That right there is the other point too. Yes, he would have walked in there with a whole bunch of weapons, no doubt. But he would have walked in there with a plan.
Frank.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm about to bring up Breaking Bad again. You know, when y'all seen Breaking Bad, I'm assuming, right?
I have. Yep.
No.
Okay. Oh
yeah. Nobody else? No, I haven't seen the whole thing. No.
Shit. All right. Well, okay. Well, I'll just say that the main character he has a plan, right? He walks in, you're thinking like, okay, this guy's crazy coming in here with all these people, but he actually had a master plan. Then when the plan came together, you're like, oh, that was perfect. That was perfect. Right, that's what I thought Frank was going to do, but no, he just took his beating and sat there still talking shit while they're beating the shit out of him. And I'm like, okay.
It just didn't make any sense to me, right? That just isn't Castle.
It was a cool scene, but like you said, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree. Like usually Frank is good at planning stuff. This was no plan.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I guess I'll go ahead and go down there and see what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, Red is in trouble. He still he still has his background. Like, it's not, I don't know, it's weird how they don't use it. I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he's a strategist, you know, I mean, he's a a lower tier strategist, like, you know, like Batman, but just a little lower, you know?
Right. And I also felt, I'm sorry, go ahead, man.
No, 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 go ahead. I'm done.
I was going to say, I also don't understand, like, I didn't like the speech he gives to them when he's tied to the chair, right? And they're like, oh, you know, we all love you. We're your fans, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, he's like, you love me. And he starts going in again. Do you understand my loss? Have you lost like I have? Mm-hmm. Right? And so at this point, we know all that. It just felt forced again to me, you know? Yeah. I just didn't think that conversation he had was what was a good
it's like writing. Recycle. Like it worked in the other part of season two of Netflix, so let's go ahead and recycle it through this one.
Like, yeah,
well, I thought somebody was gonna give him a box of tissues when he was like, you know, you don't know my pain. You don't know how I see the world. I was expecting a box of tissues to come out. He'd be like, hey, you wanna wipe your nose? Fuck, who cares?
Yeah, no, I felt the same way. But For the most, you know, it's always great to see the Punisher, right? I mean, I love that dude.
Me too.
As a Punisher. He's phenomenal. I just saw him in this movie, The Accountant. Anybody see
I love The Accountant.
It was really good. I had never heard of it, and then I saw a trailer for the second one, so I went and found the first one. And man, it was good. But he was fun, right? Like, it's kind of a different character for him. So it was really interesting.
Actually, we got a Daredevil and Punisher on that one too. We have Matt Murdock from 2003, then we have then we also have Frank in 2025. Mm. So it's kind of like Ben Affleck was you know, Daredevil, and then now we have
autistic Daredevil.
They have to get him to come back now, right?
I was about to say, is Ben Affleck going to come back for Secret Wars or?
Man, I would love that. No, if he was going to come back, I think it would have been.
They brought Elektra back.
Wolverine. Yeah, it would have been Deadpool and Wolverine, I think. So the next Avengers movie, it's either the next one, maybe it's the second one coming. They're getting rid of the multiverse. So if they don't do it soon, I don't think they're going to. I got to admit, I like Ben Affleck. I know a lot of people don't. You guys probably smack me, but me and my wife were talking about who's your Batman. And I just happened to be doing like a DC Universe marathon. So I had just seen Ben Affleck. He's my favorite Batman. I gotta say.
I'll still say Keaton, but he's great as Batman. I will give you that. He is a really good Batman for sure.
He's the most badass. Very close he's the most kick-ass Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, he plays really close to Frank Miller's Batman.
Sure. Right?
If you guys ever saw Return of the Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like
he's a, but he's a terrible Daredevil.
Daredevil again now that he's not Batman Affleck anymore. You know what I mean?
Good Batman, also, terrible Daredevil.
Yeah, he was.
I thought he was good at it.
But I also wanted to talk about the other scene with the commissioner. About how gruesome that scene was.
Holy shit.
So I was expecting that. Man. Like, it looked like a damn horror movie. The way that they shot that, my wife's she goes, that was grotesque. Yeah. I'm like, well, they actually had to step it up from the last time when Fisk, slammed that one dude's head into the, sliding door of the van. Yeah. So, but man, this is a lot more brutal.
Whenever I was imagining that level. Go ahead, bud.
But I was going to say, I was imagining that's what Bane did to that one guy, but they cut away from him when Bane took the one guy and you can hear he did something to his face. I'm assuming that's where he ripped his shit apart. Yeah, Disney, there's no turning back now, man. Disney done went there.
So. Every time I see that level of violence in this show, it just really surprises me because even though it's still a violent show, you know, it's still Disney. And so I'm surprised how far they allowed them to go. This and the other crazy scene was, you know, early on when Matt breaks the cop's arm and the bone pops out, right?
Yeah.
That one was pretty bad. But this was crazy. I thought, you know, he's pushing on his head. I thought he was going to collapse it, right? I thought he was going to crush it. So when that whole thing came off, man, it's just, get out of here, bud. It was so, the insects, man, in this room are crazy. My cat ate all the lizards, so now I don't have anything to stop the insects. But, yeah. So it was so gruesome, right? That was as gruesome as anything you would have seen in Hostel, right? And I just didn't expect it. And they made it even worse because I've seen stuff where they tear their jaw off, but then the top of his head, it was like his skin kind of shifted on him.
Yep.
It was, ooh, I loved it.
It was weird. It was,
I hate to see that guy go. I don't really understand the purpose of his character.
Well, remember, Baby was actually going to use him for a news report that she was going to do. And you predicted this though, Chris. You said that he's not going to make it past the season finale.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So, he didn't make it. And I'm also thinking that Baby might actually be on Fist's side right now. Maybe they're blackmailing her or something. So now she's going to probably be used as a way to basically cancel vigilantism or something.
I don't think she's being blackmailed. The person who got this guy in trouble was that one chick, what is her job? I don't know. The publicist.
I think she's like his campaign manager, basically. Like, I think she's like,
She's the one who turned the dude in. She recorded their conversation on her phone. So that was one of those things where you're like, ooh, that's interesting. Quite a few characters have taken that step where they've gone kind of against the lines they would normally draw, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I'm waiting for her to die. I want her to die. I don't like her. And I'll tell you what, the mayor guy, isn't he the assistant mayor now? What do they call that? The deputy mayor?
Yeah.
That guy is creepy. That smile of his, man.
It's my Tony Soprano Jr.?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Little Tony? Is
little Tony.
God, that smile. So you guys keep calling him that. Was he the kid in...
No, well, the actor that plays Tony Soprano, that's his real life son, James Gandolfini. Yeah. That's, Michael Gandolfini.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that. Well, he's got a creepy, his dad had a creepy look too, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, when he smiles, right? And he did it, especially in, I just keep feeling he's going deeper and deeper. And I said that before that. You know, I think he's going to wind up being another bad guy. I think eventually he's going to personally kill someone is my feeling where they're going to take him. But,
why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
God, that smile he does, and his head is kind of tilted down, and he's looking, and his eyes are up in the corners. Ugh, that guy's good.
Well, I think we see where this is going, though, where he's going to get to the point where he's going to start smelling his own piss, as my mom likes to say. He's going to try to overthrow Wilson Fisk, and Fisk is going to rip his face apart, too.
I think so, too. I said this before.
Sure. You think he's going to try to take over Fisk? This little...
Yeah. Listen,
he had, man. He loves that power.
He loves it. He's sitting in his chair. He's smiling. Yeah. He got away with murder. He knows Fisk likes him, you know.
But if you notice this though, Rashad, he's got a damn pinky ring like a damn gangster
right,
now.
Right.
Yep. So he's already changing into that.
His ring.
Yeah.
Kiss my ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that would be interesting. Attitude. That would be interesting. But he's gotten way, way worse. BB, I think she's going to be more like her dad. Right. And her thought it was very her uncle. I thought it was really clever, making that character related to, the hell was his name?
Ben.
Ben, yeah. I really liked his character, right? I was really bummed when he died in the show.
What I want to know is, what did you guys think of the vigilantes being captured? And then you got the swordsman from Hawkeye in there.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that we are actually getting some shared stuff within it that wasn't connected before. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if Kate might show up with Clint to help with this as well. That's also another prediction I had for season two.
Man, I love Hawkeye. I love all the guy that everybody else hates. So, right?
Instead of doing a season two of both, a crossover season two?
That'd be a good well, I heard somebody say that, that it makes sense for it to tie in with the Thunderbolts. You know what I'm saying? With the whole, you know, martial law thing and all that, then all the vigilantes being captured. So,
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know how they would do that because technically, Kingpin can't show up in the MCU movie. So unless they just have him off camera and mention him, but I don't know, I guess they can do it if they wanted to.
Is all this happening during Thunderbolt Ross while he's president? Is that why Fisk is getting away with this?
I don't think this has anything to do with it. I think it's all the power of Fisk and the stuff that he's doing and the stuff that he's blackmailing other people with.
I would imagine it is taking place during that same time frame.
Mm-hmm.
It just bothers me sometimes, and again, I know this is so weird to say, but it's like sometimes these shows feel like they happen in a bubble and not in a universe, because if something like this was actually happening in New York City and the Avengers are around and all these people—
Ah, there we are! Now we can discuss it! Oh, like, man. John and I were fighting on this question. Nobody ever just
like shows up, right? Like, where is, and I know he's dead, but where is Iron Man? Where is Thor? You know what I mean? Like, where
that
are
was
the
my
people
thing.
To just show up?
But I also
like,
said
randomly.
This.
Like, that's how you tie them into this, is you just—
Absolutely. I said I had two issues with it. That's my second one, right? Where's Spider-Man, right? Where's, well, the Fantastic Four aren't in this universe yet, but you know, where are the other Defenders? Although, I agree with John. I think Jessica Jones is going to show up. I'm pretty sure I read that she was signed on to the show.
I'm pretty sure about that. And Iron Fist might actually get a resurrection though too.
Like, I know they hit to a lot of things that are happening in the peripheral and a lot of things that are happening in others, but I want to just see that one moment where somebody just pops in and shows up. Like WandaVision, how did nobody from the Avengers show up and try to calm her down? Nobody tried. Like, they just went to battle with this woman, and they're just like, nah, we're gonna let the regular, like, army handle this. Like, what?
For me, this is how I view it as, like, every comic book doesn't connect with everything. Every issue is its own standoff thing. So, I also feel like having the Avengers in there, stuff like that too, might overshadow the Daredevil stuff though too, even though this is a season finale. You might actually forget about some of the other stuff that happened within the Daredevil thing, and we're not focusing on everything else. I think that we have enough with just Matt and Frank right now being involved.
But what if somebody's like, doing an interview, like one of the Avengers is doing an interview and they're just like, no, I think they can handle it, but yeah, we're aware of what's going on.
Maybe Jessica Jones would be.
I don't know. Just something else where we can see the outside world.
Yeah.
That's,
well, I mean, well, to play devil's advocate here, like the Avengers only really deal with, you know, extinction level event type situations where Daredevil's more like street level. So I don't want to say it's beneath them, but it's beneath them. So that's why you have the Defenders, who's like a street level version of the Avengers, you know what I mean? Cause you think they're gonna get Hulk and Thor and Iron Man to deal with Wilson Fisk? They're like, nah, yo, Spider-Man, Daredevil, Frank, y'all take care of that. We gotta deal with aliens and shit.
Spider-Man, street level, right? Here's the thing, if they're not gonna do it, right, there's gotta be a reason. That's the thing. If they're not, and I get what you're saying about the Avengers, but then there are so many superheroes in this friggin' universe now.
I agree.
There's so many. And if you're not gonna bring them in, you have to have an explanation why. Because it makes no sense that all these other heroes wouldn't convert. New York City is under martial law. dude. Yeah. That I mean, have you seen that little like gif of
the little meme of the all the different heroes in New York City, like in the MCU? Like, there's like a 40 of them that are like so, and these are low level, not even like big.
Well, yeah. I agree. Spider-Man should show up in season two. Like that to me should be.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's inevitable because he's in New York City too. So, you know, him and Daredevil, they cross over in the comics, they cross over all the time. So it makes sense for Spider-Man to show up. But like the rest of the Avengers, nah.
Oh, no, and that's fine. Like I just meant the Avengers as a, like just anybody in the MCU other than who's in this contained show. That's all I meant. Like it can be Spider-Man. It can be, it could be freaking, the new Falcon from, Captain America, the new, that dude, like have him show up. Like he's a low level dude. He's nobody now.
Yeah.
He's Sam back in Avengers. Like
he's nobody now. He's just Captain America. He's nobody
until he takes the serum. You know, he could never be Captain America until he takes the damn serum. I don't know what his problem is.
Right. I just went up against Red Hulk, but you know, he's nobody now.
I don't know. And again, I'm not hating, like I'm not, cause I do love all, like WandaVision is my favorite, MCU show they've done so far. I love what they do with these things. It's just sometimes I do wish that, like if Wanda's going through this midlife crisis and she's destroying a town, there is no way that, Cap doesn't show up or somebody. I mean, just somebody would show up like, dude, we just went through war. What are you doing? I don't know. Well, weird shit. I don't know. It's just weird things to me.
You're onto something with that one though, John, because I wanted Doctor Strange to show up as a guest star on WandaVision, like in the 1950s. Like, hey, how you doing, Wanda? Guess what? Right. All the shit that you're doing is because of you. And do like, everything that was in that one comic. I forgot what it was where she winds up taking a fifth or a tenth of the mutants. What's that one called? I know you know,
Rashad.
Right?
Isn't
that House of M? I don't know that one. I wish House of M.
House of M.
Yeah, it's House of M, right?
Yeah. I wanted a House of M kind of style show for WandaVision. Just have him show up and say, and make her go through every single memory that she had and let him be like the psychiatrist going through everything. Mm-hmm. And then let that be the breaking point of WandaVision. And not have it bleed through, that last Doctor Strange movie.
That was perfect. That was great.
The multiverse of bullshit.
Don't be slamming on
I didn't like that one either, Rashad. I'm with
you. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. I did like it first viewing and then when I watched it again, I said, I was tripping. Cause, yo, when you watch something with a big crowd, it kind of messes with your psyche and you're like, wow, this movie is awesome. Cause everybody's clapping, everybody's cheering, everybody's into it. And then when you watch it by yourself, I'm like, this is not very good.
I've seen it twice in theaters. Yeah. And the first time, like, okay, maybe it's just me. I was in a theater with maybe 10 people. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it was just because of the crowd that I had. So I brought my wife to go see it. And nobody really was clapping. No one was really into it. I'm like, okay, is this not me? It's not just the crowd. There's just something wrong with this movie for me not to enjoy it. Yeah. So, because I always go into the thing like, I don't go into it like hating the movie or anything like that. I go into it with erasing all my expectations, erasing all theories and let the movie be the movie. And sometimes I question it. I'm like, did I not enjoy this as much as I thought I did?
Right.
Is there something wrong with me as well? Just overanalyzing my own self, my own insecurities about something that I should be happy about, but I don't. Well, yeah, that's why it makes it hard to review.
Yeah.
Well, it's called the multiverse of madness. You know what I'm saying? So when you watch a movie like Everything Everywhere All at Once, that was what the multiverse of madness should have been. When you watch, like, that's a true multiverse of madness movie. If any of you seen Everywhere, how do you say it? Everywhere All at Once, whatever.
Everything
I watched that.
I'm tired. Yeah. That's the multiverse of madness. That one was more of a, like, it was like a slasher movie. Like Wanda was just a straight up slasher.
Well, and of course it was directed by Sam Raimi. Director, right?
Yeah, Sam Raimi.
At first, whenever I heard Andy Muschietti but whenever I heard that he was going to be on there, what's his name? Not Andy Muschietti. I know that you know the director, Chris, that directed that one, Sam Raimi. Sam was going to get on this, I'm like, okay, this is cool. Maybe they might actually bring in Nightmare for this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, because I was actually hoping for Nightmare as the villain.
Right.
Yeah. And it wasn't. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go erase my theory about that. Now it's going to be what it is. But still, yeah. I did not enjoy
it. It is a Sam Raimi. Like, his stamp is all over that movie. Like, yeah. Like every Sam Raimi trope that he does is in that film, but it didn't feel like a Multiverse of Madness movie, you know?
Then, it felt like a Sam Raimi movie.
It felt like a Sam Raimi movie, yeah. Then when the Illuminati came in, I'm like, dog, like when Black Bolt showed up, everybody cheered. I'm like, oh shit, y'all know who Black Bolt is? And they just totally wasted him. I'm like, did the writer not realize how powerful Black Bolt is? And for him to go out like that, and then you take out Reed Richards, the smartest brain in the Marvel Universe, I'm like, dog, they dissed those characters. I didn't like it.
Disrespected the hell out of all
they
of them.
They disrespected all of them.
I did.
Professor X. Yeah. But especially Black Bolt.
I want to get into the post-credit scene with Frank now. Did you see that one, Rashad? The post-credit scene? Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. I didn't know that there was a post-credit scene until I seen it on Facebook. I'm like, okay, so I fast forward the whole entire episode. I watched it. And I like the fact that I had a feeling that you're not going to go ahead and have Frank being locked up. He's like a pit bull. He's going to find a way out.
Right.
And he does.
I don't know he's going to fuck you up. Like, there's no reason for him to be nice to you at that moment. And he's trying to have a conversation. I'd be like, man, if you don't shut the fuck
up. I thought the same thing. He wants to shake your hand. You know, I'm like, are you a moron?
Okay.
There's no way. It's like that Austin Powers. It's like the moment Austin Powers when he's like, look at you. You don't even have a name tag.
Well, I mean, they all did idolize him, though. I mean, even though they beat the shit out of him, but they still all, like, really idolized him, so.
Yeah. But I like him.
I get it.
He was fanboying out. That's all.
Yeah. But there's no way I'm doing any of that in that moment. Ain't no way.
No,
that moment was good. That
didn't make sense, but I still loved it, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, it was great. Yeah,
last shot of Frank on the go.
Mm-hmm. My second Frank favorite on the go.
Oh. What's that?
No, I say he's my second favorite Punisher. I still say this may be a hot take. I still say Dolph Lundgren is the best Punisher. I'm sorry. I love Dolph Lundgren as that character.
You gonna take him off your guest list? Man, Dolph Lundgren. So you know who I really liked, but this Punisher, sure. I think I like this Punisher best. But did you see Punisher Warzone? Like, I don't remember that guy's name. Ray something.
Oh yeah, Ray Stevens. Yeah. Ray Stevens.
Ray Stevens. Yeah.
Yeah. Ray Stevens. Yeah. No, he was good. No, he's the most comic accurate.
I like his a lot.
Yeah, he's the most comic accurate Punisher. I'll give him that. But Dolph Lundgren, come on, man. The dude just has the physicality of Frank Castle, man. Frank, because in the comics, Frank Castle's a big dude. You know what I'm saying? Frank Castle, he'll shoot you up, but he can snap you in half too. Dolph Lundgren has that. John Bernthal, I love John Bernthal, but he doesn't look like he'll, you know, pick you up over his head and like snap you in half. Man,
he does. I think he could. Holy shit. That guy is friggin' built, man.
Talking about John Bernthal?
Yes.
He's a pretty big dude.
You watch him with his shirt off and
against Ivan Drago?
I got him up.
Well, no, he's not that big.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
But he's pretty big for yeah.
And come on, and he rode a motorcycle in the sewer, man. Come on. He rode a motorcycle in the sewer. That's bad. Dolph Lundgren's always gonna be my Punisher.
Okay. This is how I rank my Punishers. I got Bernthal as number one.
Yeah.
Thomas Jane is two.
That is the worst movie. Oh man, that movie is so hard to watch.
Hey, I like it. I know. But I like it for what it is.
It's like a torture film, man. It is so rough. Like, I like most of it, but that scene with all the fucking piercings and then at the end with John Travolta being dragged a mile on fire, right? You're just like, God damn, man. They are beating some people up in this thing.
Yeah, that was dope.
Yeah, even the Russian. They had the Russian in there, too.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Nash. Yeah, that was my favorite
Kevin
part.
Nash.
Yeah.
I have Ray Stevens as my number four, and then I have Dolph Lundgren as number five.
Yeah. So you put Dolph Lundgren last?
Uh-oh.
Nah, listen, I get it. It's not a very good movie. It's mostly nostalgia for me, man. Cause
I got you.
This is 1989, so at the time Marvel wasn't putting out anything. The last Marvel movie we got prior to 89 was Howard the Duck. All right.
I love Howard.
Yeah, but as a big comic book fan, to see the Punisher in the video store, I was like,
Here's the thing, Rashad. I remember going to Blockbuster to rent the Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
And I also played the video game on the Sega.
Yep.
As well.
Yep.
I rented that from Blockbuster too.
Yeah. That was a big deal.
And I was so psyched up for it. And I also read the comics. And it just kind of let me down as a kid. I need to go back and revisit it. I haven't revisited as a kid.
Right.
So maybe looking back as an adult, maybe I might actually enjoy it.
Probably not. It hasn't aged very good, I'll be honest with you. But like I said, just for nostalgic reasons, I love watching it. Like, the whole motorcycle in the sewer thing is ridiculous. He doesn't have the skull on the chest. There are no characters from the comic book in the movie. And it does really show its budget, because it was a low-budget action B movie. But it just happened to be called The Punisher. But I love watching it.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I think... Man, I would kill if they would put Howard the Duck in this army, right? No, don't shake your head. Howard the Duck.
I love Howard.
It's kick ass. This guy, you have no idea all of the things he has done. He was Iron Duck, right? Mm-hmm. He was Duck Door Strange. He was possessed by fucking Kiss and became the Duck of Satan.
Really?
Yeah, oh dude. And he ran the Howling Commandos in during the Marvel Zombie Wars.
And this is all in the comics, the Marvel comics?
Yeah. Yeah, he kicks ass, man.
I've never read Deadpool. A Howard the Duck comic.
He was Deadpool the Duck.
Yeah.
Really, you guys missed it. And, you know, it was a very political comic, like when I was growing up. I think I was reading it when I was 13 or 14, right? This is funny. So there was a write-in campaign for Howard the Duck. So in the comics, he runs for president, right? And,
that part, yeah.
He became a write-in on, and I don't remember who the guy's name was, but Howard the Duck got more votes than one of the candidates in the running for president.
Oh shit.
That's right. He's badass. That duck will kick some ass, man.
Damn.
You ever play Lego Marvel Super Heroes? They give you Howard the Duck with a friggin' missile launcher.
And he almost slept with Leah Thompson. That's a bad boy.
He would have. That was, they didn't handle that well, because he would have banged, he was banging the shit out of, Beverly.
Anyways. Oh, God.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Well, John, let me ask you, man. So I know you wasn't a big fan of the 89 Punisher movie, but, do you think it was worse than the Captain America movie that came out like two years later?
Oh, good Lord. The Punisher was a lot better than the Captain America one we got. I remember actually, get this. I remember I was so much into like the Captain America Marvel stuff and things like that too. Mm. I remember all those cheesy 80s movies that we got, man.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm excited for this. And then I'm like, this is lame. Yeah. Especially this.
He had the rubber ears. He had the fake rubber ears outside of the mask.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was.
I actually had it on a VHS Spider-Man tape somewhere
from them.
What's that?
So I like the Spider-Man show from then. You know? I don't know.
Oh, the Fantastic, not the Fantastic, the Amazing.
No, it was like, I don't know. It was in the 80s or maybe even late 70s.
Yeah.
It was like the live Spider-Man action with like, show?
Yeah. Yeah. It was
where he had the wool webbing.
Yeah. All right. He would shoot out like rope. It was like laundry line.
Yeah.
It was like
rope webbing. Yeah.
Yes.
Man,
yes.
That was terrible.
It was so bad.
Man. Not when you were a 12-year-old kid, man.
I get it. Nah, even when I was a shorty, I remember hating that, because they used to have, they came on back to back. You had the Incredible Hulk and then Spider-Man or vice versa, but they came on back to back though. So it was Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk, and then Wonder Woman with Linda Carter.
Right.
And I would watch Wonder Woman because I thought Linda Carter was hot. I watched the Incredible Hulk because Lou Ferrigno was like, he was like God to me at the time.
My brother loved that one.
I love the depth of the Incredible Hulk. I love everything with.
Yeah,
I remember my mom and dad recording that for me for the Death of the Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
They recorded it on VHS for me, and I watched that tape like nonstop.
It's hard for me to watch that just because I know at the time Bill Bixby was sick, and you could see it in the movie. You could tell he was dying, And then, of course, the Hulk died at the end of the movie. So I'm like, that was a one-time watch for me. I couldn't watch it again.
You see, I didn't know anything about that as a kid. So me experiencing this as a kid, I really enjoyed it. Right, I need to go back and watch some of these old ones and everything. And maybe we should do like a rewatch of like a watch party stuff.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Well, as far as like the made-for-TV movies, I think the best one is not the one with Thor or Daredevil or Death of the Incredible Hulk. It was one called Married, where I want to say it was between maybe season 1 and 2, but it was a made-for-TV movie where he actually gets married and dealing with, you know, being the Hulk and then trying to be a husband too. And it was just written so well, but it's so underrated. Nobody talks about that. But if you get a chance, check that one out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, before I close, I just want to say this real quick too. Like, I posted this picture, like the, hey Karen, you asked me to do a favor. I did it. Thank you.
Right.
Well, anyways, so I ended up posting this meme on social media. I said, today, while pursuing social media, I learned that there's a name for the Karen. Frankship. And it is Kat Kaesel. Now you have to know this. Do with this knowledge what you will.
Okay.
I don't think any of us knows like what the hell you're talking about. We're all lost. I can see their faces. I'm pretty sure I look the same way.
Never mind.
That's one of those things brilliant. It's
Karen
over.
Kaesel, K-A-S-P-L-E, for shipping them together. Okay. Never mind.
You know, it doesn't get any better once you know what you're, like after you explained it, it didn't get any better.
No.
Yeah. That's like somebody trying to explain the movie Nope to me. That I still don't get that movie.
I didn't like that one either. But anyways, guys, I think that's everything that we had wanted to talk about besides my bad pun that I was trying to make. But, but my question for you guys watching and our audio listeners too, and you guys can also geek out with me on Spotify and stuff like that, and I'll comment as well. And tell us what you think. Did you like Daredevil Born Again? Did you think that the last two episodes were good? I know this was a Frankenstein style of way of doing a show, but I feel like at the end, though, I mean, they delivered it to us at the season finale. As long as the payoff is fine at the end, I'm good with it. But I'm excited to see what else we have coming up. As far as Daredevil season 2, they're right now filming. It should be out next year. Everybody was complaining because of the fact that that it's going to be released next year. I said, look, I had to wait 3 years for the damn Sopranos. Yeah, so you don't have no right to complain.
Yeah.
We had to wait 30 years for Stranger Things, you know?
Yeah. So. By then they'll be in the nursing home.
Right.
But anyways, Rashad, do you have anything coming out like the bitch in the yard or anything, or what you got?
Nah, the bitch in the yard is behind me. That's in hindsight now. I never want to see her again.
No,
I will be seeing Sinners tomorrow. I'm watching that in Dolby, so I'm excited about that. And one of my YouTube brothers, he put me onto this movie called The Ugly Stepsister. He was like, you need to check that out, because he said it was worse than The Substance as far as nastiness. And The Substance was like the most grossest movie I've seen since The Fly, you know what I mean? So I want to check that out this weekend as well. So I should be having a review for both those movies this weekend. And that's about it right now.
Okay.
Awesome.
What about for you, Don?
Nothing right now at the moment. Still working on stuff. So, yeah. Check out everything I've done before.
Okay.
Check out my catalog.
Okay. What about for you, Chris? I know that you're working on that Doctor Who.
Yeah, I started a script on it, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be so awesome. But and then I also have a book coming out in June or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I forgot to mention. Yeah, WrestleMania. This is WrestleMania weekend, so yeah, I'm going to be reviewing WrestleMania as well, nights 1 and 2. So I should have that up Sunday. Yeah,
and by the way, you can also sponsor my show on your WWE review as well to help me out. I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, I got you, man. No, seriously, I got you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah. By the way, you can find Rashad's links in the description below as well, Chris and Don's. But here's the thing. Rossi will be doing a show on Wednesday nights with Don and Jason. they're going to be covering The Last of Us, season 2, episode 2. I did episode 1 with Dawn and myself, yesterday, matter of fact. I have that. I am going to be doing a Sinners review coming up whenever I go see it. But yeah, that's everything here at Movie Lovers Unite. Smash that like button, smash that subscribe button. Go ahead and listen to the audio only podcast of the show where you guys get your podcast from. And visit my friends over there. And don't forget to buy yourself some merch and treat yourself even though your wallets tell you not to do it. And always until next time, bye bye guys.
Yes, sir.
And this has been a pleasure.
Ciao.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.